Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, news director here at KALW, and I want to invite you to become a member of KALW. We are 70% listener supported, so as you listen to this, please make sure to go to the Donate Now button at KALW.org. Thanks.
KALW.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Even with the ease of ebooks, it's hard to replicate the feeling of reading a page turner and actually turning the pages. So, book lovers in Oakland rejoiced when the Oakland Public Library opened its curbside pickup service this summer. Now, library goers like KALW's Christopher Agusa can get their reading fix while keeping a 6-foot distance.
Okay, so I'm texting my name to this number. It's gonna let them know that I'm here. Oh, and I'm up. Hello. Thanks. Okay, so came in this paper bag. Okay, and here it is. The Library Book by Susan Orlean. Appropriate. Pretty simple, super quick, very easy.
But libraries also provide communities with key services like internet access and learning programs for children. So what happens to families and kids who depend on libraries for more than books? In our series, The Essentials, Christopher talks with a children's librarian who's working to preserve what makes the library so special.
There's different hello songs, right? One that I've always liked to do was just a lot of waving, so it goes, "Hi, my friends, and how are you? How are you? How are you? Hi, my friends, and how are you? How are you today?"
That's Laura Liang.
That's like a hello song.
If you couldn't tell, she works with children.
I am the supervising librarian for children's services at Oakland Public Library.
One of her favorite parts about being a librarian is interacting with young kids during the library's popular storytime events.
There's one that's a lot of fun with bubbles, too, but I don't have bubbles. Generally, I have a bubble gun, and then I sort of walk around the room and I spray bubbles at everybody, and the kids just go insane.
That sounds really fun.
In another world, we will do this again.
In another world, before shelter in place, story times happened in person, with kids and their families sitting in a circle around the librarian who led them in songs, rhymes, hand movements, and of course, stories, all of which develop literacy skills. In this world, library buildings have been shuttered and many librarians have been reassigned as disaster service workers.
So a lot of our library staff have actually currently been working as at meal distribution sites, at produce distribution sites. When our doors closed, the work needed to be done elsewhere.
There's still a lot of work to be done at the library, though. Laura and the rest of the essential staff who have stayed on are trying to keep some of the library's core services going. One of a librarian's key jobs is to answer questions. And that's still the case, but the questions have become more urgent.
I think kids are really confused. You know, they don't really understand what a pandemic is or why you have to wear a mask outside. What's going on out there? What is Black Lives Matter? Or what is the Stonewall riots? And so we create programming that sort of explain in a gentle way, but also in an informational way, what these protests were about and what they are about and why it's important.
To help answer these questions, Laura and her team make book recommendations and often bring in experts. Like when they had a drag queen guest host a story time and talk about LGBTQ pride. They also make videos that teach kids about basic habits that keep us healthy, like this sing-along.
Wash your hands, get them wet, get some soap. The rocket ships go zoom, rocket ships go zoom. Let's all wash our hands today, rocket ships go zoom.
This is one of over 100 videos that Oakland Public Library has posted to their YouTube channel in the past few months.
Today, pet the dog today.
And it's not just kids who have questions. Laura says parents are a little lost too.
You know, there are a lot of resources out there, and sometimes they just want to find one landing page with maybe a list of books that are okay to read to a child to help them understand, to say, hey, I know this is a confusing time for you. It's probably a confusing time for a lot of people. Here's something that you can read about to help you understand why it's important.
It's really important to Laura that the library feel like a safe place to learn and explore. Her passion for this work goes back to her childhood, which was so intertwined with the Oakland Public Library, it's like she was destined for this job.
I grew up in the Oakland Public Libraries. It's really where my heart is, especially growing up in an immigrant family where my parents didn't know English, right? So that's the language I primarily spoke outside the home. And so when I come to the library, I'm able to not just connect with other Asian kids who are speaking my home language, but connect with other people who speak English and who can just sort of help me understand sort of this world that I'm growing up in where, yes, my home life is Chinese, but externally, my life is also in English.
So having bilingual story time really helped her grow and engage with the world.
I found Oakland Public Library to be my refuge. So I want to be able to provide those opportunities to kids as well.
Oakland Public Library was also her first job. And when questioning what to do with her career, it was a librarian who helped her figure out the path.
Some of the librarians who work at OPL basically watched me grow up, and I'm working with them now. I remember working with a teen librarian here when I was in high school who always just seemed really understanding of all the struggles that you would have as a teenager. That really helped me sort of gain this respect for a librarian and what they had to do. Because it's not just providing reading recommendations. There's all this social interaction. You build a huge relationship with the teens and the kids that you work with.
Laura recently returned to Oakland after spending 10 years as a librarian in New York and San Mateo, but it was a far cry from the kind of homecoming she expected.
I started this role probably 7 days before Shelter in Place started. I got a really brief intro, and then it was like disaster planning. What happens next? What's our next steps? Do we close the library?
That's exactly what happened in March, when all physical branches were shuttered. Since then, Laura and her team have been racing to adapt the resources that they know the community depends on to a socially distanced world. Video story times are just one piece. They've also been giving out internet hotspots to families in need of access. And the summer reading program, which is typically planned out nearly a year in advance, had to be retooled in just weeks.
We've really had to like take a step back and brainstorm and think of different ways that we can reach our community.
They're like improv artists, figuring things out on the fly. One recent idea, art classes in a bag. It's replacing a series of art classes the library was supposed to host in person.
Each bag contains art supplies that will allow children and families to create several art projects, anything that they want.
Laura is really proud of the way they've transitioned so many services online, but she acknowledges that addressing the needs of families without internet access is a big challenge.
We are distributing free books. We're sort of contacting our community partners and anyone who might be engaging with families in person in some type of way. We can get a book into a child's hand so that they have a chance to read and to explore.
Then she says they've done their jobs. And in the past, the most gratifying part of Laura's job was seeing a kid's reaction to real learning.
They have this light bulb that goes off that's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. Maybe it's a magic show. Maybe it's doing an art project.
These moments don't really happen anymore. Not in the same way. But sometimes something comes close. She says it's like a little boost of fuel. Like when she met one kid picking up books for the summer reading program.
And they're like, we read every week. And I'm like, that's amazing. Did you turn in your summer reading log? And they're like, we did. We dropped them off in the book drop. Can we get our free book? And it's just so comforting to know that they're so excited to read throughout the summer and to come pick up a book. And so I think that was a moment where I was like, yes, this is why I do what I do.
Now that school has started, Laura has shifted her focus to supporting teachers who have the monumental task of adapting an entire semester to a distance learning model.
I feel like in a normal year, we are a well-oiled machine.
In the past, they would do a lot of library tours and class visits. This year, they're doing everything they can just to get books into kids' hands. or their phones.
We're willing to do a virtual class visit on Zoom.
They do free online tutoring.
Run book clubs for our kids after school.
Arts and crafts programs.
STEM programming, so science, technology, engineering, or math programming.
And you can even book a librarian to get personalized reading recommendations. Laura says they're trying as much as possible to recreate the atmosphere of the library.
We hope that our story time videos are welcoming. We hope that they can find a space to just take a moment for themselves.
But despite all these efforts, that idea of the library as a refuge, which is so important to Laura, it just can't fully be replicated online. Sometimes the building itself is important.
It's hard because not only is the library closed, but everywhere is closed. And so for kids who have really relied on the library as a safe space or just relied on the library as a place to go with their friends, you know, that's why we continue to keep our eyes and ears open for opportunities to reach out to our children and our families and our teens, letting them know that we're still here. Anything that we can do, we will. And that we look forward to the day that we can reopen our buildings and welcome them back in.
In Oakland, I'm Christopher Agusa for Cross Currents.
Christopher is an audio engineering fellow at KELW. Most branches of the Oakland Public Library are open for curbside pickup from Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. So earlier, we heard about libraries reopening for curbside pickup. Since the coronavirus shut down in-person gatherings, we've all had to get a little more creative about how to engage with the world around us and how to keep up with our favorite hobbies. KALW editor Lisa Morehouse had an idea that has to do with books. Since authors were canceling their book tours and launch parties, she thought we may be able to do something a little different on the radio. She's the creator of our segment New Arrivals, which features local authors reading from their newest publications. And she joins me now. Hey, Lisa.
Hi there.
So what was the idea here, Lisa?
So actually, back at the very beginning of the year, I was working on a documentary story that was based on a book by local author Alia Voltz. It's called Home Baked. And this was a story about her, you know, growing up in San Francisco with her mother, making pot brownies. And this memoir was something that Alia had been working on for a decade. And it was her first book that was published. And you know, I was working on turning this into a documentary radio story. And so I got to know her and her family a little bit. And as the pandemic got more and more and more real, I knew from talking to her about her fears about what was going to happen with the launch of her very first book. And that was that her book launch party was going to have to be canceled, that her tour to, you know, let people know about her book was going to have to be canceled. And so just because I knew this one author, I could imagine what was happening to all of the authors who had books that were going to be coming out during this time of the pandemic. Of course, at the time we hoped, you know, maybe this would be a few weeks, a month, something like that. And so we thought maybe we should put these authors on the air. Maybe we can give them a little virtual book tour and let people who love going to bookstores and love going to readings, let them hear from the authors and let the authors share with their, you know, with their audience in the way that we at Cross Currents know how.
Right. For those of us who don't know, what is the importance of a book tour for an author?
Well, you know, it is a way for them to get to know their public, right? And for people to be able to see them live and in person. It's also a way that books get sold, you know? So a lot of, you know, authors will be at a bookstore, They'll stay after a reading and sign books. So it's both its publicity and its sales. And it's also relationships with those bookstores.
So you've been reaching out to these authors and getting these readings for new arrivals. How have the authors reacted to this idea?
They're pretty happy. For the most part, they're pretty happy. And, you know, when we started, it was a little bit of an experiment because we're asking authors to record themselves on their smartphones at home, you know. So, I mean, I just reached out on social media and I contacted a few authors that I knew who had books out right now. And I said, hey, will you experiment with me on this? And, you know, I had them go into, you know, spaces and throw blankets over their heads and, you know, which is what we have to do, and record themselves at home and send those to us. And then we put those together at Cross Currents. So authors have been really thrilled to have, you know, one more outlet. And sometimes I'll reach out to someone and they say, oh, I was hoping you would contact me because I've been listening to the series and really loving it.
So this has been a feature you've been making for KALW, for Cross Currents, this show. And now you're turning it into a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just really liked the idea of having these micro readings, these 2-minute little segments of books that are coming out now. And, you know, one of the things that I love about doing this series is that, you know, we have cookbooks, we have poetry, we have children's books, we have lots and lots of novels. You know, there's historical fiction, there's, you know, it really runs the gamut. And it's lovely to hear these snippets, first of all, and really understand the diversity of writing that's coming out in the Bay Area right now. And also to pick, you know, which books that I want to be reading during the pandemic. So it's been a wonderful way for me to get some book recommendations for myself for my own reading. And one of the first episodes of the podcast that we're doing is a book that I'm in the middle of reading right now. And it's Juli Delgado Lopera's book, Fiebre Tropical. And it's this wonderful book about a family that migrates from Colombia to Miami. And it's just written in this wonderful Spanglish. There's, you know, lots of Spanish, but even someone who doesn't speak Spanish would totally be able to understand this book. And the voice of this teenage narrator is so wonderful and angsty, but really unique, like something that I've never heard before.
Y dice, chapter 1. Buenos días, mi reina y mi gran criolla here reporting desde los Miamis from our ant-infested townhouse. The broken air conditioner above the TV, the flowery couch, la tata half-drunk directing me in this holy radio novela brought to you by Fimo Sadness Incorporated. On the TV, another commercial for Inglés Sin Barreras, and Lucia, La Tata, and I chuckled at the white people teaching brown people how to say, hello, my name is, hello, I'm going to the store, hello, what is the swamp, please come rescue us. It was April and hot that the heat dissipated in June or July or August or September, even November for that matter. The heat, I will come to learn the hard way, is a constant in Miami. El calorcito didn't get the impermanence memo, didn't understand how change works. The heat is a stubborn bitch breathing its humid mouth on your every pore, reminding you this hell is inescapable and in another language.
I don't know that I would have known about this book had it not been for making new arrivals, so it's a real joy for me to have that recommendation, and I just know that people with really different tastes from mine are going to be able to listen and find things that really work for them.
I mean, where do you see this going? I hear a Reading Rainbow-esque type show, but don't take our word for it. Take Lisa's.
Well, I think what's so...
Will you take this further?
What I think is so interesting is that, you know, we thought that this would be a segment of Cross Currents that we do for, you know, 4 weeks or 6 weeks. Here we are, 6 months into this. You know, we started the series in April. And I think we'll keep doing it as long as authors are still unable to go out on tour.
KALW editor Lisa Morehouse is creator of the new podcast, New Arrivals. Find a link at KALW.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.